books. Love this show, especially today. I get to talk to all my friends. This is so cool. Find out what's going on. Teddy was just here, and I get to talk to Matt and Kara. This is wonderful. All right. We have such a wonderful family of independents in our region, independent bookstores, and we love to hear from them. And what they do is present our weekly segment of book picks. This morning, we have two booksellers from two bookstores joining us with books that we believe you should pay attention to. Doesn't mean you have to get them. Doesn't mean you have to be interested in them. But it's a little tap on the shoulder to remind you of the great things that are out there. We welcome Matt Tannenbaum of the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Hello, Joe. Nice to be here. Happy holidays coming up.
Yes, happy holidays and have a beautiful Thanksgiving, of course.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful to have you here. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And it's always good to see you. We welcome Kara Weisener to our program as well. Kara is from Merritt Books in Millbrook, New York. And how are you?
I'm so good. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, it's great. It's fantastic.
Just great.
I just want to say, Kara came in and she had this big red bucket, and it's filled with books, and Matt said to me, look, did you see it? And I'm thinking to myself, well, you sort of can't miss it, Matt.
go big or go home.
It's a big bucket of books.
I just got blown away.
But it's
all
a great
I have
idea.
Is a bag of books.
That's
it's
all right. That's fine. And it's
my
red. It's very seasonal.
It's my new purse.
Terrific. All good stuff. All right. Kara, because I think you have the slightly longer list, let's begin with you.
Okay. Let's first talk about this trilogy, which is actually a fiveology. I don't know what you call five books in a row all together.
Number four is coming out this month or next month, yes?
Maybe next year. I think three just came out this week.
Oh, I thought that we were coming together. Okay.
So this is On the Calculation of Volume by Solveig Ball, and it's translated by two people from the Danish, by Sophia Ersi Smith and Jennifer Russell, which I thought that was really interesting. Two people did the translation. It shows thought, I feel like.
Is one translating from one language to the other, like the Pavir and Bosnahansky, the Russian into the French, then the French into the English?
I'm not sure. They both have American or English-sounding names, so we'll see. But Hersey, maybe one of them is maybe part Dane. Anyway,
these books
are slow and beautiful, right? This is a time loop. The main character, Tara, is stuck in November 18th. That happens very quickly in the first book, so I did not spoil anything.
So, not no particular year.
No.
Oh, okay. That's
just
really...
November. Well, it's her November 18th, but as you see, and now in three books, she can move and be different places. But every day when she wakes up, it is the November 18th that was her first November 18th that then continually repeats.
Okay.
It gives you just a chance to go into so many different subjects. It's her own personal feelings about love and emotions and her relationship. You then get a sense of ecology in the world and our resources.
So this is she starts contemporary, or this is
yes,
we don't know where.
Yes. When. It's kind of like a pretend village in France outside of Paris that she lives in, and she's going into Paris for the day. And then,
does the series have a name?
I think on the calculation of volume 1, 2, and 3, and then it will be 4 and 5.
Okay, which I just looked up. It's a quintet.
Oh, of course.
Yes, a quintet.
Fiveology, not being a word.
A fiveology?
Yeah, fiveology.
you can get five buckets, and you can have a
five bucket of buckets.
Bucketology.
On the calculation of volume, and book three is just out?
Yes, book three just came out this week.
Excellent. And we look forward to the other two. Fantastic. All right. Matthew, you're up.
Hey, I got Thomas Pynchon's new novel. Has anybody talked about this book on the show
no
yet?
One that I recall. I have it on my nightstand, literally. And
I started reading it as soon as it came in.
This is like a very guy book.
It's a guy book. It's a caper. And I realized, that, thinking of that word, that all of Pynchon's books are capers. V was a caper. Gravity's Rainbow.
I correct myself, because we had a bookseller, and I don't remember who now, who said, I just picked up the Thomas Pynchon book, and I was reminded why I don't like Pynchon. Oh. I remember that phrase being said on the show. But go ahead.
I've been reading Thomas Pynchon since I had my first bucket. I read V, and then when I moved to the Berkshires many years later, I realized that the Berkshires figure in V. Of course, Gravity's Rainbow, the main character is from Pittsfield, Mass.
Oh my God!
And all of a number of his short stories that got published later, they all take place in the Berkshires. Also, this takes place in Milwaukee, of all places. Here, take a look at this. And of course, Pynchon is known for his puns.
It feels good. The cover of that and a book I have, it's that same nice kind of matte finish cover.
Yeah, I do like that.
And he has a line in this book with the main character. And somebody asked me after I started reading it, you know, what's happening? I said, I have no idea. But neither does the main character, which is the point. So he's a detective, and he is looking for a missing heiress who has run off with a jazz musician. And the parents, the cheese mafia guy, is looking to get his daughter back. But here's a line from this book that I read when I first started it. He's talking about some boss. He says, to waste my talent not on an evil genius, but on an evil moron. Dangerous not for his intellect, what there may be of it, but for the power that his ill-deserved wealth allows him to exert, which his admirers pretend is will, though it never amounts to more than the stubbornness of a child.
Well, that's great.
Who is he talking about, I wonder?
Well, that's a good point, but I was just taken by the language. Amazing.
He loves language. He studied, did he study under Nabokov? I think he took classes with Nabokov at Cornell back in the 50s.
This is the new book, and as you said, it's a caper. But you don't know what's going on, but that's okay.
There's the pun, if I may say, the pun is the one about the tournament on the submarine. There's a submarine. There's a tournament. What kind of tournament? A bowling tournament
on a submarine.
Sure, he says. Haven't you ever heard of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
So that's enough to turn... Okay, all right. Those of you who don't want to read Pynchon now, you have your excuse.
That'll win you the Pulitzer right there. That's some good stuff. Thomas Pynchon, Shadow Ticket. It's a new novel and certainly been around. We've been waiting for this novel for quite a while.
Right,
yeah, so
right.
Very exciting that it is out and about in the world. Okay,
right.
Kira.
Speaking of the Pulitzer.
Yes.
The next book I'm going to talk about is called The White Hot. It's by Chiara Alegria Hudas, and she has won the Pulitzer for one of her plays that she wrote.
Right.
She is a really dynamic author, so she wrote the book for In the Heights, like the story of the musical and then the film. And she has a fantastic memoir that's out, and she obviously has a bunch of plays, one that has won. And then this is a novel called The White Hot. It is gritty, almost like the way the cover feels, like it feels like a serious book. The picture is of a real woman. You can see like her leg that's like not beautifully formed, like she's got some cellulite and there's like a baby on her lap. Did you talked with her, right?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
No. I got the book from your store,
right.
and I just got it, and I have not read it yet. Although I was excited because I don't know if you all do this, but Ann Patchett has the book of the week thing that she does on her Instagram, and she was talking about this book,
great.
And she said it was fantastic.
It is fantastic. It deals with a woman who is living in a house with both her mother and her daughter, and she is complicated and can't find her way in this world in that house situation,
that house.
She chooses to leave, and then you watch her throughout the whole book and through the end and what her arc becomes and how she finds herself and makes sense of herself. And I feel like it's that same thing even with this other book. Like, you're in this one day, like, over and over. There's this need, I feel, to slow down.
This is the power of fiction.
Oh, God, it's true.
Yes,
this
it is.
This is a lovely thing. And the cover of this book, as you say, is gritty. And that's the power of it. The great thing about publishing, when a publisher gets it together,
mm-hmm.
when a publisher and a book designer and, you know, and it comes in the proper size box,
yes.
so it doesn't get damaged
right.
when
yes.
you're
squished
yes.
around, and you know you have a gem in your hand.
The white hot.
Yes. I was lucky enough, I did an early read on this, and also we looked at, there are a couple different covers they were looking at, and I was asked my bookseller experience question on that, and so I'm especially pleased.
Good choice, Kara.
Yes,
good choice.
It's all me.
Excellent.
Yeah, I wanted the other. No, I don't know.
Matt, what do you have?
Look at this cover. Here's,
I know.
Here's Patti Smith.
Oh, I love this book.
Looking ethereal.
Bread of Angels, and you know, she's all over the airwaves on this, and all over the great reviews. But it's her memoir. It's her latest memoir. Of course, the first memoir was Just Kids. And may I say that I knew Patti back in those days,
wow.
back in the early 70s. And she mentions coming into the Gotham Bookmart in this book, and that Andreas Brown, my boss, the owner of the store at that time, published her books and had a show of her work, of her drawings. Also had a show of Robert Mapplethorpe's photographs. And that's when Patti used to come in, when she was working at Scribner's around the corner on Fifth Avenue. And we would have these long talks about poetry, and mostly Arthur Rimbaud. So I love that part of the book. But she, you know, and she's so light in her touch.
You're such a hippie.
Oh, God, yes. That was so much fun. Speaking of hippies, you know, we have to talk about Alice in a few minutes.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Right. We absolutely do. Patti Smith, Bread of Angels, and I love this book. It's beautiful.
She's so vulnerable
read,
in her writing, in her discussing of
all of the previous yeah. books, and this is just lovely.
And the back also is beautiful with that handwritten.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. It's really very, very cool.
And we have the photography book, the new photography book on called Horses, Patti Smith in Paris, 1976, which accompanies this book, actually, published by a photography publisher. I forget who it is. But this is just, people are surprised. Look, she can really write.
Oh,
I mean, she
God.
Can sing. She writes the poems. Of course she can write.
Of course.
She always wanted
to
be a writer.
Well, she certainly does it in this case. It's Bread of Angels by Patti Smith. Kara.
All right. Again, perfect segue. Speaking of writers.
Yes.
Out of my bucket, I am pulling the Margaret Atwood memoir. It actually matches it because she's in this great pink and orange cover with her finger up to her lips. So Margaret Atwood's memoir.
Great cover.
Isn't it? It's called A Memoir of Sorts.
Yeah.
I have read some of it, but I'm also listening to it, so I get to hear her tell us all about it. And listening on Libro FM, our independent bookstore audio book, is just amazing. She also slows you down. She goes moment by moment through her childhood in a way that you understand then how she became a writer.
How she became who she is.
So how she became who she was. Like, she sewed a lot of her own clothes. Like, you are not the same person walking through the world that you would be you're a different person if you spent all that time sewing your clothes, right? You're looking at things differently. You've spent time on something both personal, beautiful, and that you have to be careful to do. There's a gloriousness in understanding who she is as a writer, and she gives you all the details. She'll say, like, I wrote this sentence and then, you know, or I had this note, which later became Cat's Eye, or this is what happened when, you know, I, you know, was teaching at the university and I had this teacher and it came back here and it's going to come back later. So even though you're listening to it, she's giving you those clues where it's a fantastic listen, but if you were reading it, it also is...
Right.
It's amazing. She's amazing. I did an event with her last month, or I don't know what last month was, October? Yeah, that sounds right. and it was just incredible. It was one of the most special events I've ever done. But you spend time with her, I was spending time with her backstage, and I came to the realization she is the smartest person I think I've ever met. Mm. I mean, she's just brilliant. And the other thing about this book that I think is so cool is she's so,
so funny.
So funny. But also that there's an entire chapter about Handmaid's Tale that is so... It gives you such a glimpse into Handmaid's Tale. But if you just read that and hadn't read Handmaid's Tale, you wouldn't have any clue as to what... She doesn't ruin the book or the literature at all. It's just perfect.
Right.
It's so good.
Sweet. Agreed. Margaret Atwood.
Margaret Atwood. It is called A Book of Lies.
A memoir.
Of sorts. by Margaret Atwood. It is beautiful. It is big, by the way. It is a big one, but you'll get through it, don't you worry. All right.
I have a small book. It's not that small compared to Margaret Atwood.
Well.
This is our very own Brooke Allen, who lives here in Columbia County.
Oh, we like Brooke.
Has she been on the show with you?
Oh, she sure has.
Yeah. Well, this is her new book called Good Bones, Glorious Relics from the Age of Reading. And Brooke Allen is a critic, an essayist. And some of the review. So this is her subtitle, Glorious Relics from the Age of Reading. She says, listen, in the 21st century, people are not going to be reading these complex books from the late 19th century and early 20th century. These are the chapters. These are book reviews, basically, of people like George Sand, Leigh Hunt, the poet Leigh Hunt, Oscar Wilde, Somerset Maugham, Elsbeth Huxley. Mm. Who she said in the chapter on Elsbeth Huxley, she says, you know, most of the books about Africa.
Right, Flame Tears of
Thika. Were written by women like Isaac Dinesen, Beryl Markman, because the men were off shooting animals.
Right. Yeah.
But Elsbeth Huxley was the one who really tells the story of what was really happening.
God, I love that book.
Osbert Sitwell. Who reads Osbert Sitwell anymore? So Brooke Allen is finding joy in these...
Just described your catalog of books there, Matt.
Osbert Sitwell and his sister Edith came to a reading at when I was a hippie at the Gotham Bookmart.
Yeah.
So I know these names. And some of these, Eudora Welty, she writes about. I've read some of these writers and some of these other ones. I'm just so enjoying reading about them.
I very much enjoy Brooke Allen's work and writing. So
and it's published by Tivoli Books right here in... Is that in Columbia County or in Dutchess County?
Well, if not, it should be.
Yeah. Okay.
Close enough.
Good Bones.
The name of the book, Good Bones, Glorious Relics from the Age of Reading by Brooke Allen. All right.
All right, let's segue from that to From the Mill Pond to the Sea, One River, Three Tributaries, Four Dams. This is a book about water and the Hudson River written by Akiko Bush. She is one of Millbrook's own. We will have her actually at the store on Monday, December 8th at 5. So we're going to open late for her to talk a tiny bit, mostly just have fun and drink some Prosecco, as she said. And this, we're like, keep
mentioning. Set the parameters. What date is that again?
This is Monday, December 8th.
Oh, okay.
We're excited to have a late night
That's
at the
Prosecco
shop.
Night, isn't
it's
it?
It's Prosecco
yeah,
night.
Right.
Yeah. We'll but always
she's,
be Prosecco
it's
night.
Funny because... Aki writes these books that are very, sometimes very personal and close. She has a book of essays all about home. And then she also writes, she's written books about like kind of like space and time and stillness a little bit. And then this is about water, and it's about the way water flows, both in actual like dams and into the Hudson River and where things have been stopped. And so it's a little bit nature and ecology, but it's also a little bit about our relationship with water and our relationship with flow and stillness. So I think we need her to talk to her a little bit about it so I can fully understand it.
She is a wonderful writer, just marvelous. She, on the day of your event, she will be live on our program at 11 o'clock talking about the book, and we'll obviously promote the event as well. But it's Monday, December 8th,
yes,
is the event, and it's Akiko Bush, From the Mill Pond to the Sea. So great stuff.
Good title.
We have that to look forward to. Matt.
Jane Levy.
Oh, we love her. I love this book.
make me commissioner. I know what's wrong with baseball and how to fix it. from the very beginning, from the very first story she tells, which I can't say because I don't want to give that away. It's it's a very fun story. Then she goes on to talk about what went wrong with baseball and how she knows how to fix it. And she I wish she would come to Berkshire County and help us at Wekona Park, but she spends a lot of time on the Cape. Has she been on the show as well?
Yes.
Okay, so make me curious. She's written the biographies of Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Sandy Koufax. I think she wrote a novel about sports also. But she loves baseball. And if you love baseball, this is your book for the season.
And it's such great arguments that she has in the book. And it isn't like listening to I know I'm going to offend people by saying this, but it's not listening to like a testosterone-filled sports radio show.
Right.
It's her.
She loves baseball. She loves baseball.
Afternoon. Very much rooted in history and thoughts, and also, I would add, common sense.
Yeah.
Could she ever be commissioner? Is that like a silly question?
No, although she will ask you whenever she gets a chance, if it does come up, will you vote for her?
Yes, I would.
Yes.
Do we get to vote for commissioner? That's what we should vote for next November.
She has great ideas.
We certainly haven't gotten it right in a long time, so let's try that.
One of her ideas is every kid under the age of 10 gets in free.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stop with these $500 tickets.
It's ridiculous.
When I used to go to the ballpark, polo grounds, a bleacher seat was 50 cents, 75 cents.
Yeah.
And you can't even even have coins anymore. So, and then she says maybe every Monday, all the teams should take a day off.
For those, they should for themselves.
And then maybe only have two outfielders instead of three, so you have more hitters trying to get hits and not just hit home runs. In fact, she says make the fences really high so you can have that many home runs.
Yeah.
And because it's all about power, the power pitcher versus the power hitter, and it's that's not the game anymore.
All right, Jane, if you're listening, there are three votes for you right here.
Right, right.
Jane Levy, make me commissioner. All right, Kira.
Okay, I have the book that won the National Book Award.
Yep.
It is called The True Story of Raja the Gullible by Rabbi Alameddine. Such a beautiful name. He is so funny. His speech when he won was hysterical.
Fantastic.
And
great.
And
speech.
He has this kind of cute little look and he's just funny. And this is a book about, a boy's relationship with his mother and a homosexual boy who's like living at home again or like living in the same apartment as his mother and what they share. And it's both, I feel like, an appropriate and, well, I guess every relationship, unless it's like obviously terrible, is like an appropriate, interesting relationship. So they really kind of go at each other a little bit and they really push each other to the brink. He and his mom. And they also have a huge, deep love for each other. And to watch that play out in all the pages is both exciting and you get a sense of that inner turmoil. Like, so they're in Lebanon where, being gay was not...
Has he written novels before? Is this his first novel?
I think this is his first novel.
It was his debut? Yeah. I will say it was not on my radar to win the National Book Award, but and then when he did and I saw that speech, I was like, man, this is great.
Yeah.
I missed it and I have it on order and I tried to order it. I don't know how you got your when did you get?
Oh,
your
well,
copy?
We had it you in had stock it? Yeah. And so
the wholesaler has. I looked. They had 25,000 copies on order.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, well, that's good.
I think we have like 15 at the store, so you
can. I'm coming over.
I'm going to send people to you for. I have to get Jane's book.
Okay. Do you have Bernie's book?
I do have Bernie's book.
Okay.
Bernie's book is Fight Oligarchy. And by Senator Bernie Sanders.
Senator Bernie Sanders, this is a great stocking stuffer, kids.
Small. It would fit in a stocking.
Absolutely. It reminds me of Timothy Snyder's book last year or 2 years ago called On Tyranny.
Okay. Yes.
These short pieces that hit you over the head with what is going on and what you know is going on.
As you read this book, you hear his voice. It is so palpable. You just hear him yelling at you as you're reading.
And the cover is Bernie hunched over the microphone.
Yelling.
You know, yelling. Yeah. And you want to say, Bernie, you straighten up.
Yeah.
You know,
posture. For posture.
But so this is Fight Oligarchy, and he talks about the history of oligarchy, the history of authoritarianism, and he says, he quotes Frederick Douglass. I had to just quote this Frederick Douglass. He said in 1857, he said, listen, boys and girls, the limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress. The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress.
I have really bad news, which is we're out of time. So I apologize.
Oh.
I know you have other wonderful books and things, and I know you have events and all kinds of stuff. Please go to the websites, meritbooks.com, bookstoreinlenox.com. You both are wonderful. Have a beautiful holiday. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.